بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters, a quick review of last time's session. Inshallah, then we'll move forward. The masail that we are speaking about, they are mostly related to taharat. This whole chapter is about purification. And we spoke about how to do wudu, how to do ghusl, how to do istinja, all matters of cleaning oneself. And then we got to the point of what about the water, the source of purification. And last time's session was about that. That water in terms of fiqh is categorized in four different ways. There is the water that is pure itself and it's a purifier. That means it has the ability to grant purification to whatever needs to be purified. And the rainwater, seawater, all of these you can find in Ta'lim al-Haq as well. Natural sources. Allah Ta'ala ne jis tarah pani ko utara hai, usi shakal mein agar usse istemal kiya jaye, to insaan paaki hasil kar sakta hai. To wo pani khud bhi paak hota hai, aur uske zariye se paaki hasil ki jati. Then there was the other type of water, which is pure itself, but it doesn't have the ability to grant purification. That is the used water. Somebody makes wudu with some water, and after that after that water, if it's gathered after making wudu, somebody else cannot use it again for wudu. That's called my mustamil, which is a used type of water. So if somebody were to say that I have enough water, which is enough for one person, then I'll make wudu with it, and you can save it and use it for someone else, that will not be allowed. In it itself is pure. That means if it hits somebody's clothing, they're okay with the salat, but no one else can use it for making their wudu. Impure water, if najasat falls into the water, the color changes or the smell changes or the taste changes. All of these are left to the individual who is involved. Jo masle mein phasa hua hai uske upar ye masla chhod diya jata hai ki khud dekho pani ko, ki pani ka rang shakal aur uski boo, ye sari cheezein agar badal gayi hain to phir ye pani napak ho chuka. Very easy to understand. And then there is doubtful water as well. So scholars have pointed out where does the water become doubtful. If a donkey drinks from water, then that water becomes doubtful. In that case, you cannot use it for wudu. If it's used, then you also have to make tayammum. Both things have to be done because of that doubt which is in it. Zamzam water is said to be the most purest water, but it cannot be used for istinja. What is it used for? Just tabarruk ke liye zamzam ka pani istemal kiya jata hai. Matlab usse wuzu, we can do wuzu, we can use it for cleaning our face, but to use it particularly for istinja, it is a point of disrespect for the sacred water, and scholars have said that it is extremely disliked to use it for istinja. This is why in the haram it's not used for that, but it's used for drinking and other forms of blessing. So today's, the next chapter which begins after the discussion of water is tayammum. Because when water is not available, the next option that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the ummah is tayammum. I think he'll be here with the copy soon. So the very first point is the meaning of tayammum. Tayammum ke maane kya hai? Tayammum means to intend, to make an intention. Itself, it means intention. And the reason of the whole concept of tayammum is based on intention is because what is actually happening is some point of dirt is being taken and is used as a purifier. So how does dirt become a purifier? The only way to consider it as a purifier is the niyat. That's why in tayammum the niyat is farz. Without the niyat, if somebody were to say that I have dust on my face, on my hands, I wipe it, and I have wudu after that, that would be incorrect, because all of the concept of tayammum is based on intention. So in terms of the Islamic law, you'll find it says that it means to use sand and what is of the earth in a special manner to remove the two hadaths with the intention of taharat. Shari lihaz se tayammum ka maane ye hai ki zameen ko istemal karna, mitti ko istemal karna aur uski jins ki cheezein istemal karna is khas tarike se hadas ko dur karne, yani aadmi ka agar wuzu toot gaya hai ya ghusl us pe wajib ho gaya hai to tayammum ke zariye wo hadas dur ho jate hain jab tak uski niyat taharat ki ho. That's one of the main important aspects of Tayammum. Ab Tayammum shuru kahan se hua aur iski kya history hai, this, we must understand this as well. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a journey and he would always take one wife with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give turns to the Azwaj Mutahharat that whenever I go out, one of you will come with me. So in that journey, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they stopped in a place called Baida. In this place, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she lost her bracelet. Now, this is not the famous incident of where she lost her necklace and she had to stay behind and then people made up false accusations against her. But this was a different incident in this as well. Some have said a bracelet, some have said a form of jewelry she lost. And we know when women lose jewelry, you know, they'll do anything. They'll stop everything just to get it back. So that was her form of concern. When she lost it, she said to the Prophet ﷺ that somehow I need to find this. So the whole jama'at that was moving had to be stopped and it was delayed. The journey was delayed. And this also shows the akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ for his wives, that he stopped his whole mission just so that he can take care of the concern of his beloved wife, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. So now they're delaying their time just to look around where they can find that piece of jewelry. So the whole day passes. Now Sahaba Ikram are concerned that this is a place where there is no water. And because of this individual's problem, everyone has to stay. So they went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said that, look, all of this is because of your daughter. She's causing concern to Rasulullah. Now the Prophet is not moving forward and the Jamaat of the Muslims do not have water. What are we going to do? So the whole night passed in this way. Now during the night, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu. And he said that he started to scold her that you're causing problem. You are doing this. And you have caused concern to Rasulullah. So she narrates the incident herself that the Prophet was on my lap at that time. He was sleeping on my lap. His head Mubarak was on my lap. So when my father came to me, he was scolding at me and he was poking me. But I did not move from my spot because if I moved, it would have bothered the sleep of Rasulullah. So she tolerated whatever was being said by her father. And when Rasulullah woke up from the sleep, that's when the ayat of Tayammum were revealed. Because of this concern of the household of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that's why it is said that whenever a problem came to them, Allah had intended to bring good to the ummah. It can never be taken in a negative way that, look, this happened, that happened. As a result, the ummah was given Tayammum. A concession was given to the ummah because of the problem that came to the household of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So it can never become a point of blaming an individual. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu understood later on that, okay, this is what was supposed to happen. So Rasulullah ﷺ recited the ayat of Tayammum, which begins... Okay, is this one? You want to try it? Because they said... So the first ayat which is revealed about Tayammum is the same ayat of wudu. If we remember when we were doing the matters of wudu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, this is the fifth surah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the sixth verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha qumtum minas salah faghsilu wujuhakum. Now this ayat, it goes about washing all four parts in wudu. Then furthermore, it says, if we go after half of the ayat, then it says, Wa in kuntum marda, if you are sick, or ala safarin, on a journey, or you had to relieve yourself from the call of nature, you had to use the bathroom, or la mastumun nisa, or you were in intimacy with your women, falam tajidu ma'an, and then you did not have water afterwards, fatayammamu, so you should go ahead and make tayammum sa'idan tayyiban with pure soil that Allah has provided, famsahu biwujuhikum, wipe your faces, wa aydikum min, and your hands. ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم. Allah doesn't want to make a problem for you. This ayat, the whole idea is that Allah has just made deen a lot more easier. تَيَمُّمْ دَيْكَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ نَي اور آسانی پیدا کر دی. So, This was the ayat from where scholars have taken the idea that yes, if a person, falam tajidu, that's the word of discussion here, falam tajidu, you'll find it there, that when you do not find water. So scholars have said, okay, if you take it in the literal meaning, it means you don't have it, right? And then the other understanding also includes that you are unable to use the water. Pani hai, lekin usse istemal nahi kar sakte kisi wajah se. Ya pani hai hi nahi. Dono baatein isme shamil ho jati. So that's where we go to point number two, that when is it permissible for a person to do tayammum? It's a conditional matter. That means not in every case you can say, instead of wudu, I'll just do tayammum. There are particular cases. The first matter is where when water is not available for the distance of approximately a mile. Now, scholars have said in the books of fiqh, 1 mile. Others have said 1.2 miles to be exact. And if kilometers are used anywhere, they said 2 kilometers. So that's less than almost about a mile, roughly a mile. So if for that much distance, there is no water available. Okay, let's say water is after a mile. That means 1 mile, and then in the second mile, that's where water is. So this person who is without water in that radius of 1 mile, now he would have the ability to do tayammum, but he doesn't have, because he doesn't have water. Number two, when one lacks the means to get to the water. In some cases, like we talked about in the last session, that there is a well, and you have to put a bucket down into the well. If there is no bucket, and the well is so deep, that somebody has to climb down, or they're putting their life at risk. So again, the concession is there that they don't have to do all of that. It is allowed for a person to do the tayammum. That means if the water is there, the ability to get it is not there. Or the water is so far that it's past the 1 mile mark. When there is a danger lurking between him and her and the water, that means a person who is going to get the water, there is a dangerous animal there. There's a snake there. There's a lion there. Or there's enemies, there's a battle going on, and the enemy have taken over all the sources of water. And this has happened many times in our Islamic history. So whenever that happens, you cannot go to get the water. The idea is the enemy is going to attack you. So life is at risk again. So concession is given that this person can do tayammum instead of wudu. When one is a prisoner under harsh conditions. Again, the ability has been taken from him. He wants to take the water, he wants to do wudu, he wants to go, but all of that is no longer an option, so the concession will be given. When the quantity of water is only sufficient to meet the basic necessities. Now, there's a jamaat, they have water, and it's only enough so they can survive on it. That means after every few hours, somebody has to drink water. And if they go ahead and make wudu with it, in the next day or so, they can die out of thirst. That's the only water they have. So again, the life is at risk. So in every case, you will see that it's a very logical understanding that when a person's life is at risk or something goes out of ability, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't ask us to do it anyways or push us to do it. Okay, it's a problem for you, but do it anyways. So it's never like that. Ease is given in the deen to such an extent that everyone can easily follow. Then when one is ill and a Muslim doctor has instructed that using water will aggravate the illness. Such illness that the doctor has, this does not mean the common flu. Doesn't mean that it's winter, so I'm not going to use water, I might get a cold, I might get some fever. That's not what's being talked here. When we say illness in terms of Sharia, that means a doctor, a serious doctor goes ahead and says, if you touch the water, the disease that you have is going to increase, or you can even die. And the doctor himself, just by saying Muslim isn't enough anymore, he shouldn't be a fasiq. That's a doctor ho, Musliman bhi ho, fasiq bhi na ho. Fasiq ka matlab ye hota hai ki khulle taur par Allah ke guna karta hai. Khulle taur par, he doesn't pray at all. Right? Puts a person from being a believer to being a fasiq, because these are open commands of Allah. He doesn't give zakat. He doesn't fast in Ramadan. This makes a person fasiq. So he's there, he's a Muslim, but if he constantly takes these options for himself, then there's a possibility he's going to do the same for others. And there are many doctors who do this. They'll tell youngsters to go take a long night of sleep, you need sleep. And they'll say it's fine even if you miss Fajr. So if a doctor is like that, and doesn't understand the loss that can come by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that doctor is not qualified to be referred to in these matters. So when we say to ask a Muslim doctor, someone who follows the basics of Islam, doesn't have to be so very pious, but open disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be coming from this doctor. So the doctor in this case would then say that, look, if you use the water, it can become a problem for you. Or, you know, you can lose your life, you can get this disease, this problem. So in that case, then tayammum will be the option for this individual. When one is in a state of janaba and fears that one will die from cold or become ill if ghusl is made with the water, it's similar to the previous one, but this is particular about janabat. And this happens a lot where people have to take a shower, but because of taking shower with cold water, or they don't have the means of making the cold water hot. Pani garam karne ka bhi koi tarika nahi hai, aur thande pani se nahayenge to phir bimar bhi ho jayenge. So in these cases, then tayammum will be given. Tayammum is a substitute for wudu and for ghusl. So if a person does tayammum, it will be based on his niyat. We're going to get to that, inshallah, in a few minutes. The whole idea, like I started in the beginning, tayammum is all about the niyat. If the niyat is not there, there's no way that tayammum can come into effect. So point number three is what breaks tayammum. I put it at point three that it's very simple to understand. Just see wudu toot jata hai, usi se tayammum bhi toot jata. It's very simple. And if a person has done tayammum for a major impurity, that means he didn't have water to do ghusl, and then he does tayammum for the ghusl, then for him to become jumb again, it's not, he has to do something that causes major impurity. So it's going to cover the minor impurities, it will remove it. But in order for that person to be majorly impure again, he has to do something that causes the ghusl to become wajib. Now, what are the things that we do tayammum on? This is usually where people get confused, but there are many, many things. Deen is very, very easy for us. It's not just sand. There's many, many things on which tayammum can be done. So let's see here. So these are some of the ayats. The first ayat that I mentioned and talked about, this is called the ayat of tayammum. So that one we should at least know that it's in Surah Al-Ma'idah and it's verse number 6. This is where Allah gave the concession to the ummah that they can use the soil for purity. Then again, this ayat has been revealed in Surah Al-An'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you're in the state of intoxication, don't go close to salat. And then furthermore, after half the ayat, then it says that if you are sick or in a journey, same wording again, that if you have fulfilled the call of nature or you have touched your women, that means to be intimate with one's wife, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, and you had no water, فَتَيَمَّمُوا, go ahead and make tayammum sa'idan tayyiban, that means pure soil, with something taken from the earth. فَمْسَحُوا بِالْوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ, then make masah of your face and your hands. Inna Allah kana afuwan ghafura, Allah is most merciful. So then we have the hadiths where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had pointed out that this whole earth has been made pure for me and my ummah. Li wali ummati, for me and for my ummah, masjidan wa tahuran. People can pray anywhere on the face of the earth and they can take from the earth and become pure. Dono baatein isme sikha diye ki mere liye aur meri ummat ke liye puri zameen ko masjid bhi bana diya gaya. اور باقی حاصل کرنے کا ذریعہ بھی بنا دیا. فَأَيُّمَا أَدْرَكْتَ رَجُلًا مِّنْ أُمَّتِي صَلَاةً فَعِنْدَهُ طَهُورٌ. Anyone from my ummah that needs to pray salat, he has something to become pure with. That is the earth. So that is to cancel out the excuses. That nobody should have an excuse that I don't have water, so I can't do this or that. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith says, I've been given five things. It's also a very famous hadith that was not given to anyone before me. That people that are my enemies and they're from a distance of a month's duration, then my awe and fear will be put into their heart. Mera rob unke dilon mein dal diya gaya jo mere se ek mahine ke faasle par bhi rehte hon jo mere dushman hain. Wa ja'alat li ardan, the earth has been made pure and a masjid for my ummah. Fa yuma rajulin min ummati, same words again, that whoever wants to pray salah, they should go ahead and pray. And it has been made pure for them. And ghanaim, the wealth of that comes after the war, has been made halal for me. That means the people, the prophets and the sharia before Rasulullah, they had to take that wealth which they won in war and they would have to put it aside, and then a fire would come and burn it aside. But for this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the opportunity that it's halal for you, you can distribute it and consume it. وَلَمْ تُحِلَّ لِأَحَدٍ مِّن قَبْلِي. No one had these superiorities before me. وَعَطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَ. Intercession has been given to me. That means it's not been given to anyone before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَبْعَثُ فِي قَوْمِهِ قَاسَةً. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that prophets will be sent to their tribes in a particular way. خاص خاص قوم کے لیے انبیاء بھیجے جاتے ہیں. بھیجے جاتے رہے. وَبُعِثُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَّةً. اور مجھے بھیجا گیا پوری امت کے لیے. I have been sent in general form for the whole ummah. So these are some superiorities of this ummah. We should always remember that we are extremely lucky to be born in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a journey, فَصَلَّى بِالنَّاسِ, and he led the salah, فَإِذَا هُوَ بِرَجُلٍ مُعْتَزِلٍ. It was a person sitting aside who did not join the jamaat. فَقَالْ مَا مَنَعْكَ أَن تُصَلِّ. What has stopped you from praying with us? Rasulullah s.a.w. نے اس سے پوچھا کہ تم نے ہمارے ساتھ نماز کیوں نہیں پڑھی. قَالَ أَصَابَتْنِي جَنَابَتُن. He said, I became majorly impure. That means either it was a wet dream after a dream, he had to take a shower. وَلَا مَاءٌ. And he said, there is no water, so I couldn't pray with you. قَالَ Rasulullah s.a.w. said, عَلَيْكَ بِالسَّعِيدِ. You should take on to the soil. That's very simple for you. فَإِنَّهُ يَكْفِيكَ. It is sufficient for you. That means if you have done taharat with the soil, then you don't have to worry about anything else. Now sand is the basic thing that we all know, that in the Quran is saying, السَّعِيدُ الطَّيِّبَةِ. Pure mitti, جو پاک مٹی ہوتی ہے پہلے وہاں سے شروع کریں کہ تیمم اس کے اوپر بالکل جائز ہے اور اس سے ہو جاتا ہے. Then cement is also taken from the earth and it's pure. It can be used for tayammum. And we're going to talk about how tayammum is done. It's very simple. Bricks. Very simple. These are red bricks took out, but there are other bricks as well that are made with mud. Marble. Now about marble, it should be unglazed, that no other material is used on top of the marble. It is unglazed marble. So this type of rock people can do tayammum with. Now mud. You see, mud is mixed with water. So in a place where mud is standing and there's a lot of water at the same time, the person involved has to determine how much water is in there. If most of the mud is water, then this area cannot be used for tayammum. The person has to put a cloth into that water and take out the cloth and let it dry. And when he puts it to dry, that sand which is on the cloth can be used for tayammum. Is cheez ko samajh le achi tarah ke jab iske andar mitti hai to pani agar zyada hai to isse tayammum nahi ho sakta. To hum kya karenge, to kapda isme dala jayega, uske baad kapde ko sukhaya jayega aur kapde ke upar jo mitti hai usse tayammum. Is that clear? So in regular cases, the person has to see that how much of water is in there. If it's going to be a lot of water, most likely it's going to be impure. We've already talked about water. If it's standing, has all this mud, it's changed its color, most cases it will not be good enough for that. Now mud, you see in many countrysides, wall is made out of mud. Ye mitti ke bane hue ghar hai, to iske upar bhi tayammum ho jata hai. That's very easy. So in many countries, these are bricks too, but they're made from mud. So that can also be used for tayammum. Now plaster. This plaster which is used for putting on, if somebody breaks their arm or their leg, so plaster is put on. Or plaster is used for construction purposes. Plaster is from the earth and it can be used for tayammum as well. The pottery which is made by sand, mitti ke bartan wagaira, iske upar bhi tayammum ho jata. Very easy things. On limestone, it's usually white, the tayammum can be done on it. And these things, these are all different types of stones. So if there is najasat on top of that stone, we can see it. This is the limestone, there is najasat sitting right there. So unless I remove that najasat, I cannot do it just because the stone is limestone or it's something which is allowed to do. So jab zahiri najasat samne aa jati hai to phir use dur karna zaruri hai. You cannot just put the najasat onto yourself and say I use it. Now these are basic things under the things made out of clay, things made out of stone, bricks, mud, baked pots, limestone, sand, mud, and things that have a thick layer of dust. If a room is closed for many, many years or for many months, it's possible dust might gather on chairs and on different on the wall, right, on different sides of the room. So that dust is also allowed to be used for tayammum, but not the dust which is taken from wood. If wood is cut, there's dust, right, that comes out. That dust cannot be used for tayammum, and we'll talk about that in those things that cannot be used for tayammum. Now, if there is najasat on these things, what we need to understand is that if a person has only a little bit of water, let's say the person, he's napak, he's impure himself, okay? Now, he has to make wudu or he has to do ghusl, and his clothes have the najasat on it as well. They can see that this part of the clothing or this part of the body, it has najasat. So instead of him worrying about wudu and ghusl, the first thing that he's going to do is remove that najasat. That is the first problem that needs to be solved. Jab pani bahut kam ho, aadmi ne wuzu bhi karna hai, ghusl bhi karna hai, aur najasat zahiri lagi bhi hai, jism par ya kapdon par, to sabse pehla kaam ye hai ki us najasat ko dur karna hai. Agar insaan ne tayammum kar liya, najasat lagi hai, phir bhi iska tayammum nahi hoga. Isi tarah ghusl ke liye wo pani istemal kar liya, najasat dur nahi hui, to ghusl bhi adhura rahega. So the first problem to solve is to remove the najasat from the baran, from the body or from the clothing. Now these are very simple things to understand. We can move on to the next point, is that those things that we cannot use for tayammum, which is wood, metal, glass, food items, all items which can be burned, turned into ash, they rot over time, or they are melted like gold and silver. All of this comes from the earth, metal, but it gets rusted. It has a changing form to it. This is why scholars have pointed out that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said sa'id and tayyiban, it is pointed out to those things that do not change form over time, and they have particular purifications in them. Woh cheezein sari paak rehti hain. Is wajah se sirf woh cheezein jo pehle point 4 mein bataye hain, wohi cheezein tayammum ke liye استعمال کی جائیں گی. یہ دوسری چیزیں لکڑی یا لوہا وغیرہ تیمم کے لیے اس پہ جائز نہیں ہے اس کا استعمال کرنا. Now the فرائض of تیمم are very simple. There's only three فرض. Here another حدیث points out that the صحابہ اکرام, when they heard about the تیمم, they didn't know how to do it. So there was a صحابی, when he became impure, he was rolling in the soil. So they were thinking that first, کہ مٹی جہاں جہاں لگ جائے آدمی پاک ہو جائے. پہلے ذہن میں یہ بات آئی, right? The first thing that he thought was, okay, Allah said to use the sand, so wherever we put it, I'm going to become pure there. But this idea of purification is different than wudu. It's not about cleaning the spot, it's a ritual purification. یعنی شرعی لحاظ سے وہ آدمی پاک کہلائے گا. Once he does it, after that he is going to be pure. But it doesn't mean that you have to put literally put the dust on your face. It doesn't mean to put the mitti and the dust on your hands, but it's actually a wiping process, that your face and hands will still be clean afterwards. So the first farz of so here, when that sahabi did this, Rasulullah taught, and this is the narration, this was mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had no water, so he said that we would roll in the dirt and pray the salah. When this reached Rasulullah, he said, this would have been enough for you. And he struck the earth with his hands. And that's what we're going to talk about, how to do the tayammum. In this hadith, is pointed that Rasulullah blew on his hand, and that was to get rid of the extra dust. And then wiped his face, Mubarak, and then his hands afterwards. And agreed upon narration. In another text, it states that it would have been enough for you, Rasulullah said, it would have been enough for you to strike the ground with your hands, blow into them, then wipe your face and hands up to the elbows. Now, this hadith points out that you shouldn't have gone through all of that problem of rolling in the sand and putting it on everywhere. It was enough for you to just do this three-step process. So these are the compulsory acts of tayammum. The first thing is the niyat. Now, the earth that we are using, جو زمین کا حصہ استعمال کیا جا رہا ہے, وہ اس وقت تک ہمیں پاک نہیں کر سکتا جب تک ہم اس کی نیت نہ کر لیں کہ یہ ہمیں پاک کرے گا. اس کی نیت سے اس کا تعلق ہے, اور اس جگہ پر علماء اکرام نے اس حدیث بھی سنائی ہے, انما الاعمال بالنیات, right? So that's where they say that exactly what the person intends for, that's what his tayammum is going to have effect. So if somebody makes an intention of doing tayammum for wudu, he's going to be able to do things through wudu. But if he is a junbi, right? If he had to do ghusl, now that tayammum is not sufficient for me. So his niyat should be big. The way we take a shower, right? We take a full bath, then the wudu is included in there. Badi cheezon mein choti cheezein aa jati, but choti cheez mein badi cheez nahi aati. So this is how we understand about tayammum as well. If I make the intention that I'm doing tayammum just to go in the masjid, I'm napak, I can't go in the masjid, I'll make tayammum to go in the masjid, so I cannot pray salat with that tayammum. This is something very important to understand. Many people don't understand it. They think tayammum will cover everything. You have to make the intention at that time of doing the tayammum that, oh Allah, this tayammum is for covering my ghusl, wudu, and I can pray my Quran, salat, everything. So then that tayammum becomes sufficient for that, all those things. But just to do tayammum, to do one particular amal, then all those other things are not included. So if a tayammum is for wudu, it only allow him to do things with wudu. But it will not make him away from the major impurity, which is the ghusl. So it's better to do a niyat that it's wholesome, it completes and it includes everything in it. So let's say if a person is close to a place where there's a lot of dust, right, and the wind blows a lot of dust on his face and his hand, so automatically we will not say that his tayammum is done. Okay, but in wudu that can happen. In wudu, the niyat is not fard. In wudu, if a person, he falls into water and all of those areas that are to be washed are washed, then automatically this person is pure. But in tayammum, as long as he makes the niyat, that purification will not come. So he has to make it in his mind that this dust which has been wiped is for purification. If it just blew onto him, then the tayammum will not take effect. The next fard is to wash, is to rub both hands on the face after striking them on the earth. So, is that clear? So it's very simple. The both hands, number one, is you take it and you strike on the dust. So if it's sand, mitti ke upar dono haath mare jayenge, uske baad, then you make sure that extra dust, because the idea is not to put dust on the face. It's just to wipe. So we drop the extra dust and then the first wipe takes place. It's similar to wiping the face in wudu. That means the area of limits are the same. Yahan se jo baal hai peshani ke, under your chin, it's got to go all the way this way, and from one earlobe to the other, the whole face has to be wiped down. So it can be done this way. That means the area underneath the nose and the whole area has to be wiped. And in tayammum especially, scholars have said al-isti'ab has to be done. Isti'ab means to take a wide approach when you're wiping. That means open up your hands and go to every little inch and make sure that it's wiped. Okay, so that's the second farz. First is to make niyat. Second farz is to strike the hands and wipe the face. Then third farz, again we strike the hands and then wipe the hands up to the arms. So again, this person is going to strike on the earth, drop the excess dust, and then wipe. Now, scholars have said that in hadith, it doesn't say exactly to go this way, that way first, but to make a comprehensive approach, that sara usme aajay, and they have said that start underneath, from the underneath side. See those sisters. See like that? So the right hand is on top, the left hand is underneath. So we're going down this way, and then turn it around and come back. So you know in your mind that you have already wiped on the below side, and now you're coming on the top. Then you're going to go onto this side, and you go on both sides, it has to be done. So if a person does the top first or the bottom first, it doesn't matter, as long as that whole area has been wiped. So itne aasan hai, chahe wudu ka tayammum ho ya ghusl ka, dono ka tarika ek hi hai. Chahe mard ho ya aurat, usme koi farak nahi hai. So Allah Ta'ala ne itni aasani di that it takes like 2-3 minutes and a person now is pure. There was a sahabi who had done the same. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about this, that he was the Amir of the Jamaat, and everyone else was saying that you have to take ghusl, how are you going to lead the salat? So he made tayammum and did it, and when the news came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved that okay, what he has done is correct. Another sahabi, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he also had a similar case. And his case was before tayammum was given to the ummah. But he understood that Allah doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. So he remembered the ayat, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't kill yourselves. So he said that even in cases where the life is at risk, we should go for other options. So he, instead of using water, he used the dust, and Rasulullah ﷺ approved of that as well. So we have the basic three farais here, that one is to make the niyat. Number two is to strike the hands and wipe the face. Number three is to strike the hands and wipe the arms. Itna aasan hai. Or in many books you will find a detailed version. Bahut sari kitabon mein tafseel se likha hota hai. To uska ye hota hai ki usme sunnat mustahab sare milakar ek mazmoon banaya jata hai. So what are the sunnats? We should recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the beginning. And to do a comprehensive approach, that those are all sunnats. It's to make an extra, to go extra, instead of up to here, go a little bit more. So you're sure that you have done up to the earlobes. So to take extra caution and to remove the ring, similar to wudu. So in tayammum as well, the ring should either be turned around so that you know you have wiped that area, or take it off, right? Similarly for the watches, they have to be removed. So these things have to be done, and they're also said to be from the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, to take a special caution in doing tayammum. Now, for salat, there are very particular questions about this chapter that some have said about salat. If a person is in a condition where he doesn't have enough time for making wudu, and if he does, so the salat will become qaza. Let's say somebody wakes up a few minutes before the sunrise, and fajr time is now coming to an end. If he goes and takes a shower, he's going to lose the salat, or he's going to lose the jamaat. Now, can he do tayammum or not? So scholars have said, for regular salats, you cannot do tayammum. That means preparation for salat, it's his mistake. He should have prepared earlier. So delaying it, is he has to take the loss of missing the salat, but concession is not given in this case. Only for janaza and Eid. Let's say we go for a janaza prayer. In normal cases, janaza should be done in open fields, and that is the sunnah as well. In these countries, the western side, many places it's hard to make arrangements, so scholars have given the flexibility that, okay, put the janaza outside, stand inside, it's okay. But the best way is to do the whole thing outside. So people go outside to pray the salat janaza, and somebody reaches there, and now he knows, if I go back to the masjid, make wudu, I'm going to lose this janaza. And janaza does not have a replacement. And similarly, Eid prayer, there is no qaza of it. If you miss it, you miss it. That's why only for these two prayers it is allowed to do tayammum. Itna khatra hai ki main wuzu mein lag jaunga to namaz jayegi, janaze ki namaz aur Eid ki namaz. Agar isme ye khatre mein hai to tayammum karke janaze ki namaz aur Eid ki namaz padhi ja sakti, because iska radd o badal nahi hai, there is no qaza. But for Jummah, there is a replacement, that is Zuhr. If a person misses Jummah, he prays Zuhr. So in Jummah, if somebody comes in last minute and he says, I'm going to go for wudu, I'll miss the Jummah, it's not allowed for him to do tayammum. He has to do the wudu, the whole thing, and then come and pray the Jummah. If he's missed it, then he's going to pray Zuhr Salah. If somebody has water with him, let's say I live in one house, the person living next to me has water, and I know he has water. So before a tayammum becomes allowed for me, I have to make an effort of asking him for the water. Jab main usse puchunga, the next thing is he's going to tell me either it's free, take it, or he's going to say, I want to sell it. Right? So if it's a person selling water, he has to sell it on a normal basis. Whatever the market rates are, that's what he's allowed to sell it for. So if it's a drought, let's say, kahin par bhi pani nahi hai. So if somebody is saying, I have water and I'm going to sell it for $100, so now that's more than the normal amount for water. So in that case, the person who is the impure, he does not have to spend that much money for that water. It's allowed for him to do the tayammum, because again, there is so much difficulty being put on someone who has to pray. So that then the concession will be applied there. So these are basic scenarios, but if we have more questions, we can ask, inshallah, about tayammum. Is there anything that's unclear? Yes.
People sometimes say, okay, if we have to go probably maybe 5 miles,
water.
Yes. Mm. 5 miles is about 5 minutes.
Right. So in cases like that, if the question is the question the brother is asking is that if we have a car, we can travel 5 miles easily, then should we do tayammum or go the 5 miles and get the water? So When there is a salah time, let's say Zohar to Asr is a big time, right? It's not compulsory to pray it right away. So yes, we should go and get the water and get everything done. But technically speaking, technically, just to know if it's allowed or not, right? So let's say I'm in Springfield, and when a 1 mile radius, there's no water. I have a fast car. I have the ability to get out of Springfield, get everything done. But is it allowed for me to do the tayammum or not? Then it is allowed. Just for knowing, that's not the best option, of course, because we have other facilities. But it is allowed that for 1 mile, there is no water. So now it is allowed for me to either look around, ask people, and then if there's no water, I can make the tayammum. But because of all the facilities Allah has provided now to us, and things have become very easy, then going 5 miles, and you're still not going to be missing salat. There's no loss, right? You can make your jamaat, you can still do all of that. So that's why it's not the best option. But technically speaking, if in 1 mile there's no water, then yes, you can do them. Yeah. As long as, see, the earth that we want to pray on and the earth that we want to use for purification, these are two different things to understand. So if it's about prayer, then you just have to look at that area of praying and see that in this area, there's no visible najasat. That means, let's say a dog has just, you know, passed by that area, or someone we know has thrown a najasat there. So I have to, even though that area, the whole area, when it dries, it's going to become pure. I can pray there. But if there is visible najasat, it should be removed. It doesn't mean to pray on that. So praying, it's a lot more flexible. But can I use that for taharat? No, I cannot use that area for taharat. So the whole earth has been made pure for this ummah, means that visible najasat that can be removed should still be removed. And then pray in that area. So we have so much area to pray in, so we don't have to pray exactly on the spot where a dog has just passed by, right? Yeah.
After making the niyyah, how many times do we have to strike our hands on the
ground? So let's start again. Basically, one striking in the beginning. Yes, one time. And now, jhatakna haath, right? Ek dafa zameen pe maar ke phir haath jhatak lene. So that's one striking on the earth. Then there's one more. So first one is for the face, the second one is for the arms. Okay? So do dafa you're striking, but you're going to shake your hands after that. So that's to remove the excess jo zyada mitti haath pe lag gayi use door karke karna hai. No, this is why that sahabi thought, from his mind he thought that if I am najis all the way, I should just roll in the sand, right? But ji nahi sirf masa karna hai to naak ke andar ka dhona kulli karna, none of that. This itself, it's not literally replacing water, it's just made easy for the ummah, we can say that. Yeah. The head also, no, it's not required. So this is all that we need to do. That's it. No feet, no hair. Ji?
Two things,
yes. And the third thing is the niyat. That's the most inshallah. So before this is niyat. And then these two things. Ji? That's a good question, that if we're living around Christian doctors everywhere, one is that there is so many other ways of getting in touch with Muslim doctors. So the first option should still be kept there, that, okay, if I know somebody in another state or in another area where there is Muslim doctors, then call them, find out from them. But if it's Christians only, then the whole scenario has to be explained to them that this is not something, and it's a lot more difficult. It's just going to make it a lot difficult because they don't understand the importance that we're dealing with. For them, it's just the act of worship. And in their cases, they don't give importance to worship as much as Muslims do. So, is cheez ka nuksan unko samajh mein nahi aayega. Wo unko sirf sehat ka nuksan nazar aayega. That's why it's not encouraged. It has to be somebody who sees the whole picture. Musliman bhi ho, aur aisa ho ki kam az kam khulle taur par gunahgar na ho. Yes, just once, that's it. And it's wiping, so you don't even have to rub too much. Just the wiping, that's it. Yes.
In this one, we just had the Mata
See, on the road, because people and things pass there, again, you might have doubts of what's there and what's not. So that's why we didn't start off with those areas. If the road has been made with pure earth, then of course, yeah, that is included. But if it's a mixture of different things, or some animals always pass from there, and it's a chance that this najasa, that najasa is there, that means it's not a good option to start with. It's better to go with other things of this nature. Bricks and those pictures that I've shown, these are things that are accessible for people. If they're on the countryside where water is not there, you'll find these things there. They're always there, like things made out of sand. That's very simple to get access to.
पानी
मशकूक हो जाता है तो पानी हलाल रहता है जी. ये पिछली दफा ये बात आई थी कि पानी के अंदर अगर कोई गलीज चीज पड़ जाती है तो फिर मसला है. अगर हलाल जानवर ने मुंह डाला तो हलाल जानवर के मुंह पे या कहीं ऐसी गंदगी लगी भी ना हो कि जिसमें पानी गंदा हो. But birds, chicken and things that we usually eat, goats, if they put their mouth in the water, so technically it's still pure. जी जी हाँ अगर कुत्ता हो सी कुत्ता हलाल है या हराम है. Okay, so if we cannot eat it, then we cannot use it for... Similarly, cats. Now, cats, the scholars have said that people keep cats at home. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, we know that they used to keep it. So, it's a great chance that cats can put their mouth in our water. So, agar billi ne foran chuha kha ke dala hai, to ab wo paani bhi ganda ho gaya. Lekin yahan ki billiyan jo achhe saaf sutri rakhi jati hain, to wo... So, that in itself is not a problem. But of course, we have so many other options, so why would we go for the water that's in that area? Yes, anything else that people need to know?